Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
That is the sound of a tractor putting hemp seeds in the ground today at the University of Louisville. Researchers plan to study the plants for use in manufacturing and fuels.
A curfew change has been ordered in Flemingsburg following vandalism in a city park.
And Kentucky ponders raising its minimum liability requirements for auto insurance.
In sports, Moorhead State's quarterback prepares for his fourth year at the helm.
But Luke has the stocks.
It'll be clear tonight with sprinkles near dawn and lows in the 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
WKYT is reporting that first responders are on the scene of a shooting today in Rowan County. They say the shooting was on Brown Ridge Road. And Kentucky State Police have confirmed that one person is dead and the shooting was the result of a domestic dispute. We'll have more details on the story as they become available. And the woman is dead following a two-vehicle crash today in Floyd County. WYMT is reporting that the victim has been identified as 89-year-old Myrtle Chaffins. Police say she was killed in the collision of a car and a pickup truck at the junction of State Route 114 and Village Drive in Prestonsburg. A 73-year-old man was also hurt in the accident, but police say his injuries were minor.
Four men are in custody in Richmond after Madison County deputies responded to a report of shots fired near Eastern Kentucky University. Michael Stotts is a Madison Sheriff's deputy. He says the incident took place Sunday and police pursued the suspect vehicle onto the EKU campus. He says the men had just left a private party at Madison Country Club and allegedly had drugs in their car.
The deputies located what was suspected cocaine, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. Also, they located $833 of cash and a loaded AR-15 assault rifle.
Stott says the men are all from Lexington. They're held on drug trafficking charges.
More camera bombs have been found in a wooded area in Perry County. Here is Tom Latek.
Authorities in Harlan are still finding explosives in the woods after a man was killed by police. The devices attached to cameras were discovered after the death of Mark Sawaf last week. He was supposed to be helping police locate the devices when he tried to escape and was shot. So far, two more explosive devices have been found. I'm Tom Latek.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins thinks Kinder Morgan should hear from local residents before it goes ahead with its proposed pipeline project in the county. That's why Blevins plans to again try to convince company officials to hold a public hearing on the matter, which they've refused to do so far. Kinder Morgan's plan is to send liquid natural gas through the county. Part of its pipeline will involve a 70-year-old segment of the former Tennessee gas pipeline. The whole idea has Blevins nervous.
These pipelines that we're talking about, they run right through the school system. They run through the superintendent, close to the superintendent's office, the high school, the football stadium, McBrayer Elementary. All those school systems could be impacted by this. These chemicals are very dangerous.
Blevins says liquid natural gas is highly volatile and could cause massive loss of life and property damage if there's a pipeline leak or explosion. Since Kinder Morgan already has contracts and easements in place for its project, Blevins isn't sure if there's anything the county can do to stop it.
According to one of the volunteers involved in the project, progress is being made on an effort to renovate the old Rowan County Jail on Moorhead's Courthouse Square and turn it into an art studio. Gary Lewis is with the Rowan Historical Society. He says the improvements, among the improvements already made, the 80-year-old structure's sewer and water service has been restored.
Just good cleaning and have it ready to start painting inside. So, the outside, if you've driven by it, they're just really beautiful. They've been spray washed, pressure washed. Everything's been cleaned outside.
Lewis says thanks to financial help from the Rowan Fiscal Court and some private contributions, his group started with $20,000 to pay for the old jail's renovation. He notes they still have about $5,000 left in the bank, which will be used for some electrical work.
Heating and air conditioning systems have been replaced in the Carter County Courthouse and jail as part of a program to reduce energy consumption and utility bills. Judge Executive Mike Malone says old units have been removed and new technology, first introduced in Europe and Japan, has been installed. He says the energy savings from the new systems should pay for their cost.
We changed 57 heating and air conditioning units here in the courthouse. And the jail, I don't know the exact number. We changed all of them, and they use a lot for domestic water heat. And they use a lot of energy because nobody goes home down there. They're there 7/24, and they don't get a vacation.
Malone says the new system is known as variable refrigerant flow heating and air conditioning.
After vandals last month destroyed 21 of 24 lights along a walking trail at the city's park, Flemingsburg officials have changed that facility's curfew regulations. The new curfew requires that people at the park under the age of 18 between dusk and dawn be accompanied by a parent or guardian. Flemingsburg police officer Aaron Workman hopes the change will help his department prevent further problems in the future.
It's one of those things when we pull up, you know, we had to park our car, you can kind of tell there's the police. So if they're on the other side of that and it's pitch black over there, I mean, we're not going to have any idea. They can kind of hide and that sort of thing. This will help us to clear out juveniles without guardians, maybe in the times where it isn't completely dark and they maybe need to be trying to get back home or somewhere else anyway.
Workman says those who broke the lights still have not been caught. The investigation continues.
Johnson County deputies are currently working to figure out who vandalized one of the county's schools. WYMT reports custodians at Flat Gap Elementary School made the discovery Monday morning. It's not believed anything is missing at this time. However, paint was found spilled in several areas, toilet paper was thrown across a classroom, books were on the floor, and there was writing on a teacher's desk. School officials do not know how the culprits got into the building.
After blasting a school board vote last week not to keep the property tax rates at the same level as last year, Fairview Superintendent Michael Taylor says he's coming to terms with that decision. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
According to the Ashland Independent, despite the board's decision not to keep last year's rate of 69 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, Taylor says it's his job to deal with it and make it work. The district will lose about $46,000 by not taking the compensating rate, but Taylor says he will look for savings in transportation and energy, among other areas. Sports and clubs will be asked to cover at least part of their expenses through fundraising, and an energy manager will look for ways to improve efficiency. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
The Morehead State University Presidential Search Committee held its seventh and final public forum yesterday. Some 20 community and faculty members shared which qualities they hoped to see in the applicant pool. Wayne Martin is chairman of the committee. He says the next step in the process is bringing in a search consultant next month to talk with students and faculty.
He'll essentially ask the same questions that the two general questions, what are the challenges and opportunities that you think will face the next president, and what criteria and qualifications do you think are most important that this person, he or she, have?
In addition to the search consultant, the committee will be gathering university surveys concerning the search for MSU's next president.
A Lexington attorney who worked on political campaigns for Democrats Ben Chandler and Allison Grimes says the money businesses and large political action committees are permitted to spend on elections is hard to distinguish from vote buying. Scott White drew the analogy Monday during a campaign finance discussion on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
To me, there is no difference than handing somebody in McGoffin County, the most recent example, $20 for a vote, and somebody donating $10 million to a Democrat or a Republican 501c4 that is able to hide behind that because of the tax code.
But another Fayette County lawyer who served as counsel for Republican Senator Mitch McConnell's 2014 re-election campaign says the First Amendment was adopted to prevent the government from curtailing free speech. Eric Lycan says that right is absolute, regardless of the form it takes.
We need to recall that the First Amendment restricts the government, not we the people. That Americans have the right of free speech, and Citizens United and Speech Now both basically said that you don't surrender those free speech rights just depending on how you're organized among yourselves, whether it be a corporate form or a PAC form. You have the right of free speech, and the government has a very high burden to overcome to be able to restrict that right.
Lycan argues that money doesn't buy elections, and he cites the more than $100 million Jeb Bush spent on his failed bid for this year's Republican presidential nomination as a case in point.
If Kentucky raises its minimum liability auto insurance coverage above $10,000, more people in the Commonwealth will drive uninsured. That's what an industry representative told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfurt today. Carl Breeding is with Property Casualty Insurers of America. He says nearly 16% of Kentucky's motorists are currently driving without insurance, and that's well above the national rate of just over 12.5%. Breeding says it'll just get worse if Kentucky boosts its mandatory liability coverage to $20,000 or $25,000.
It's our opinion that raising the limits raises costs for insurance and ultimately will impact those most often struggling to afford basic coverage and would, at least anecdotally, cause the number of uninsureds to rise.
Breeding says the average damage claim in Kentucky is almost $3,500, well below the $10,000 liability requirement. He says 22 states have the same threshold and 4 states mandate only $5,000 in liability coverage.
State Representative Michael Meredith says if Kentucky's auto liability insurance requirements do not keep pace with the higher cost of motor vehicles, the difference will be paid by others when accidents happen. The Brownsville Republican is a member of the House Banking and Insurance Committee.
As vehicles continue to increase in cost over the years, and as property continues to increase in cost, this becomes a bigger problem. And if those people who are carrying that coverage don't have adequate limits, then that's being forced onto another part of the market to take care of that cost.
Meredith says a truck once crashed into his office building and caught on fire. He says a quick response from the fire department limited damage to around $15,000, and the driver had Kentucky's minimum liability coverage of $10,000. Without the effective response, Meredith claims damages could easily have exceeded $100,000.
State Representative Jill York says she has a new appreciation for Kentucky's Governor's Scholars Program after speaking with a constituent who participated in it this past summer. The Carter County Republican says a 17-year-old female student contacted her after being involved in the program at Murray State University.
Her hometown is Grayson, Kentucky, and she traveled the breadth of the state. It was transformative. And for someone who said she wasn't very good with people, she went on to tell me about all the great people she had interacted with, what she had learned, and I came away with an entirely new appreciation for what you do.
York is a member of the House Education Committee and told her story to the director of the Governor's Scholars Program. GSP provides a co-curricular and residential life experience for high school students across Kentucky every summer and strives to enhance the leadership skills of its participants. Morehead State and Northern Kentucky University were also GSP sites this year.
And finally this afternoon, industrial hemp seeds have been planted at the University of Louisville as professors prepare to research the plant's uses in manufacturing and fuels. Professor Andrew Marsh says the seeds were scattered near the university's Speed School of Engineering and are just a few yards away from the parkway.
This particular plot, its location here on campus and right next to Eastern Parkway, present an interesting opportunity to see how people will react to hemp being grown in our community. We're going to get a short crop, and plants will end up being about 1 foot tall before they go to flower.
Marr says raising the plants in plain sight is part of U of L's attempt to eliminate the stigma attached to hemp.
Turning now to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies and isolated sprinkles near dawn. We'll see lows around 65 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with lows around 72. On Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny, another 30% chance of rain with highs around 90. That night, mostly clear with lows in the lower 70s. And on Friday, it'll be mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s. It's currently sitting at 85 degrees in Ashland, 83 right now in Flemingsburg, 84 in Inez, as well as in Lexington and Winchester. And it's 85 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:46, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, state and business leaders say Kentucky's economic future is promising if the right steps are taken to create a better environment for business development. MSPR's Courtney Howell reports.
Eric Dunnigan is Kentucky's acting secretary for the Cabinet for Economic Development. He sees three key areas where the state needs to focus in order to foster growth of business.
The first is access to market. And what that means is, can I get my products to my customers from your state or from your business community? Do you give me the access to market I need to be successful? If we can check that box, you move on to workforce. Can we provide the labor and the workforce the companies need to be successful and grow? And then the third is the business environment. And this is where, as a team, we can have the most impact. It gets down to regulation. It gets down to the tax environment. It gets down to all the things that are detrimental to business growth and trying to get government out of the way of helping companies to grow in this state.
Dunnigan says the cabinet is also streamlining and revamping its marketing strategies to tell Kentucky's story and let prospective industries know why it's a good place to do business.
We're becoming more efficient. We're finding ways to do things differently under contracts and do things internationally under contracts to where we can be more efficient and stretch the tax dollar a little further. And we're also telling the Kentucky story in a bigger way. We're marketing more, we're getting engaged in different marketing opportunities, and we're trying to make people more aware of the opportunities that exist in Kentucky.
Central Bank and Trust Company President Luther Deaton also serves as Vice Chair of Kentucky Economic Development Corporation. The Breathitt County native acknowledges there are major problems facing the coal region in which he grew up. However, he says they are not insurmountable.
But we've got to have the infrastructure. We've got to have the roads to get there. We've got to have the technology to get there, and once we get that, the people there will do the job, and we got to educate. As far as I'm concerned, the most important thing a person can do is an education. If we educate our people, everything else falls into line.
Eric Dunnigan agrees that education is one of the stepping stones to a stronger economy in Kentucky. He also thinks Governor Bevin's initiative to reduce regulations on business will be beneficial, too.
With the Red Tape Reduction Initiative, absolutely. We want to look and see why the regulations are on the books, and if there is legitimate reasons to stay on the books, we'll keep them on the books. The last thing we want to do is create problems from that standpoint, but we also want to review them. We have regulations that have been on the books for decades that we've not looked at, and I think it's time for us to take a look at those. I think the administration wants to take a look at that and see what can happen from that standpoint.
Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Howe.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Round County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After absorbing an 18-9 beatdown from the Dodgers yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds are back at Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 to begin an interleague set with the Texas Rangers. Still working his way back from Tommy John surgery last year, veteran pitcher Homer Bailey had a tough outing Monday. He took the loss after giving up 6 runs on 9 hits in just 2 1/3 innings work. The right-hander admits his comeback has included the frustrations of dealing with occasional dead-arm issues.
I think it comes down to, you know, in my opinion, what do I have that day, and is it a detriment to my team winning the game? You know, and that's just where you kind of have to think more of a team instead of an individual. You know, would you like to go through there and push someone? Of course I would, but not if it's going to cost my team a game, especially to win a series the way that we've been playing the second half.
The Reds will pitch 9-6 Dan Straley tonight. The Rangers will counter with 5-5 Derek Holland. The Lexington Legends open up a three-game series at West Virginia tonight. 7-9 Emilio Ogando will take the mound for the Lexington squad. First pitch is set for 7:05. Morehead State basketball coach Sean Woods is giving his team's newest addition high marks. 6'4 combo guard Malik Winston of Dundalk High School in Baltimore recently became the Eagles' fifth and final signee for the upcoming season. Woods says Winston is the ultimate competitor and a great shooter.
The marksman, you know, which, you know, you can never have too many of those on your team. And, you know, from an attitude on and off the court, he fits the mold of what our program's all about. You know, a tough kid that's got a chip on the shoulder, really likes to compete and prove himself on the court. And then off the court, you know, the ultimate gentleman, goes to class, you know, great, makes great grades.
Winston averaged 21 points a game during his senior year at Dundalk. He joins true freshman Jordan Walker, Desmond Henson, and Alonzo Chapman, along with JUCO transfer Sophie Diakiti in the MSU's 2016 recruiting class. MSU has also finalized its 2016 schedule for the upcoming basketball season. It's another tough road for the Eagles. The 30-game slate includes 15 home games for MSU at Johnson Arena. In the non-conference portion of the schedule, the Eagles will travel to ACC member Pittsburgh on November the 15th, Big Ten member Purdue on December the 3rd, and SEC member Mississippi State on December the 22nd. MSU will get the season underway on November the 6th with an exhibition game against Cincinnati Christian at Johnson Arena. Going into his fourth year as a starter for Morehead State quarterback Austin Gayhafer is taking nothing for granted. Gayhafer is one of several key players back this season for an MSU offense that produced an average of 28 points a game in 2015. However, with the Eagles opener just 2 weeks away, he says that group still has plenty of things it needs to improve on.
Just being more consistent. Offensively, we weren't as consistent at the end as, you know, that's in part due to me. You know, I need to be more consistent on my reads, and, you know, guys need to be more consistent running routes with protection and everything. Just all around, just being more consistent.
The MSU football team starts the 2016 season on September the 3rd at James Madison. The Kentucky football team is finishing up two-a-day practice sessions this week. After yesterday's drills, which included a morning scrimmage, Coach Mark Stoops said he especially likes how the Wildcats defense is rounding into form.
We made a big jump defensively, you know, as I touched on after the scrimmage. Depth is an issue, but we're going to be just fine. You know, as you piece it all together and put everybody together and move some guys around, we're going to be in good shape and anxious to get in the game week.
The Cats are continuing to prepare for their season opener on September the 3rd against Southern Mississippi at Commonwealth Stadium. Coming off of a 14-0 loss at Clay County on Saturday, the Round County football team is back on the practice field today. Head coach Gene Peterson says despite the disappointing loss, there were plenty of good signs for his team during the game.
Our kids really played hard, and they played physical. And that's one of the things that I was really wanting to see, and we did. But, you know, I think they really came together as a team in that ball game. Besides that, I thought, you know, offensively in that fourth quarter, we did a lot of good things. And it just kind of tells me that when we do things right, we can move the football.
Round will host Bath County on Friday night at 7:30. And finally in sports, the Round County girls soccer team will have an early season measuring stick game. After losing 7-1 last week at Bourbon County, Coach Allen Evans' Lady Vikings will travel to Grayson tonight to face one of the 16th region's top teams, East Carter.
With East Carter, they're going to be in the mix. They have, I know, one really good player over there. I'm going to see who her support staff is, who's feeding her the ball, and then looking at their formations and analyzing their defense to see if we can find some holes in their defense.
As for the 0-1 Round boys, they're at home tonight at 8 to entertain Harrison County. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State Soccer and Volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer begins its season by hosting Evansville on September 2nd, and volleyball hosts Wright State on September 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks were up slightly, with materials being in particular strong, gaining about 1% as investors looked ahead to Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen's speech at the end of the week. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 17.88 at 18,547.3. The S&P 500 was up 4.26 at 2186.9. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 15.47 at 5260.08. New York Stock Exchange breadth was just over 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. On the data front, new home sales for July unexpectedly surged, reaching their highest level in almost 9 years. Other data released today included the market manufacturing PMI for August, which came in at 52.1, and of course a reading above 50 indicates an expanding economy. Investors also digested quarterly results from Best Buy and Toll Brothers. Best Buy shares soared almost 20% after beating expectations on both earnings and revenue, and also Toll Brothers stock gained almost 9% on a strong earnings report. U.S. crude oil erased earlier losses to close about 1.5% higher at $48.10 a barrel. This after Reuters reported Iran is sending positive signals that it may support joint action to prop up oil prices. Overseas European equities rose, with the Stock 600 index rising almost 1%. Asian stocks closed mixed overnight, with the Nikkei 225 falling about 0.6% and the Shanghai Composite gaining 0.16%. And gold futures for December delivery rose $2.70 an ounce to finish at $1,346.10 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and Cisco, and the worst performers were Walmart and Boeing. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Best Buy and Chesapeake Energy, and the worst performers were J.M. Smucker and Mylan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 14 cents at 115.73, CSX up 8 cents at 28.53, Marathon Petroleum up 83 cents at 41.93, AEP down 23 cents at 66.29, AK Steel up 2 cents at 4.82, and Fifth Third Bank was down 10 cents to finish at 19.52. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area tonight, partly cloudy, isolated sprinkles near dawn, lows around 65. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 72. Thursday, mostly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs around 90. Thursday night, mostly clear, lows in the lower 70s. On Friday, look for mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs in the upper 80s. Friday night, partly cloudy, lows around 68. Around the region, it is 85 in Ashland, 83 in Flemingsburg, 84 in Inez, Lexington, and Winchester. And on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 85 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Nathan Gutierrez, Courtney Howe, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Tom Latek. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, band translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.